weeks ago about palms forward thinking and even praying, and we started with a prayer, and I've included that again, and I think this is a great way, and fairly often, maybe not every single time, but often, I think this is a great way to approach learning anything. Well, certainly a great way to always approach everything, but saying this exact prayer, we might not necessarily have to do that, but I would like to do it again, and I put it on the screen for us today. And so if you would, maybe just with open hands right in front of you, let's read this prayer in unison to our Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, I receive your word with open hands and an open heart. May your word light my path and transform my life for your glory. Amen. Amen. Well, in his book, Living Above the Level of Mediocrity, Charles Swindles reminds us that the difference between mediocrity and maturity is often one word: determination. Not talent, not intelligence, not opportunity, not wealth, but settled decision to stay the course when quitting would be a lot easier. I call this bulldog determination. We live in a culture that applauds quick starts, but rarely honors long obedience. Living above the level of mediocrity is not going to happen by taking a pill. There's no instant magical formula, no secret to discover, and no silver bullet. The quality of life is definitely possible, but also it's definitely not a utopia easily entered into through fantasy land. Yet Scripture consistently celebrates those who persevere and hang tough. There's a well-known coach in Fullerton, was in Fullerton, California. He's passed away now. But he had a 35-plus year of being an incredibly successful coach. His name's Hal Schurbeck. Here's a picture. Maybe some of you may recall this incredible coach. But he grew up in Big Sandy, Montana, just a couple states away where I grew up. His winning record started when he began teaching right out of college at Missoula High School. He then went on to continue his winning career at the University of Montana, where he distinguished himself with, you know, just an incredible coach. Ultimately, he went to California, continuing his stellar career for 31 more years at Fullerton Community College. At the time of his retirement, Hal Schurbeck was the winningest coach in community college history. Not any small achievement. When he was interviewed by the Los Angeles Times, the sports writer asked him for his secret. What made you so successful? Without hesitation, Hal Schurbeck quoted an anonymous author saying that these were the words that he lived by. He said this: press on. Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are important. Those were his words, exactly. Great advice. Many people, unfortunately, have been misled into thinking that success depends upon talent or genius or education. Those can be good, but the list doesn't end there. Some continue to think that, oh, it's about getting the breaks or pulling the right strings, having the right personality or having the right looks or knowing the right people, playing their cards right or waiting for their ship to come in. Perhaps motivational speaker Charles Tremendous Jones said it best. A lot of people are waiting for their ship to come in and they've never sent one out. The thing that makes for greatness is bulldog determination, persisting in God's direction for you over the long Paul. Just as there's no such thing as instant failure, neither is there automatic or instant success. Just ask any of the Olympians that stood on the platform this last couple of weeks. Success is a direct result of a process that is long, arduous, and often unappreciated. It also includes a willingness to sacrifice, but it pays off in the end. In our world of instant everything, these are not popular thoughts. If we really want to soar like eagles spiritually, we must keep on continually pursuing. We must keep on seeking and never, never be lured into convenience and comfort spiritually. This morning, we're going to look at three truths about determination as it applies spiritually. We're going to look at the call to consistency, the cost of commitment, and the crown for the conqueror. First, the call to consistency. Here's a couple of verses about the call to consistency that we see in God's Word. First, let's look at James. James says this, "Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance." Determination begins with perspective. James doesn't deny trials. He says, whenever you face them, they're going to happen, is what James is saying. And the testing of your faith, it is not meant to break you. It is meant to build you. Trials are spiritual resistance training. They produce endurance, and endurance shapes maturity and steady disciples. Then the Apostle Paul goes on to say this, "Let us not become weary in doing good." Galatians 6:9, many of us know that verse. I'm going to save the end of that verse till the end of the message. But that's the first half of the verse. Let us not become weary in doing good. Before determination can ever be a characteristic that defines our lives, there are decisions to make, a decision to be consistent. Swindle emphasizes that mediocrity settles for spurts of effort, while maturity is built on sustained faithfulness. The Christian life is not a 100-yard dash. It is a marathon of daily obedience. Think about a marathon runner for just a minute. The winner is rarely the one who bursts off the starting line. The winner is the one who maintains the pace mile after mile when muscles ache and lungs burn. God's not asking for occasional intensity. He's asking for faithful consistency. In Scripture, consider Noah. Noah, for decades, built the ark. Did you know that many scholars believe, though it doesn't say in the book of Genesis there exactly how long it took him. We know it took him a long time, building a huge mammoth, you know, construction like that, just he and his family. But they believe it took him between 55 and 75 years to build the ark. As he worked, there was no applause, working without visible results, without public support. In fact, sometimes with criticism, board by board, day after day, consistently doing what God had instructed him. Here's some application for us when it comes to this particular aspect of our call to consistency. Stay consistent in prayer, even when answers seem delayed. Stay consistent in purity, even when compromise seems to be common all around us. And stay consistent in service, even when recognition is absent, even when somebody doesn't thank you. Mediocrity says, I'm tired. Determination says, I'm tested, but I'll trust and I'll keep going. And I will never say no to God's direction and change that He is asking to make in my life. Not only has God called us to consistency, next, consider with me the cost of commitment. The cost of commitment. Here's a couple verses about the cost of commitment. Now, I'm guessing none of us have these framed on our walls. That doesn't mean they're not important. John says, in this world you will have trouble. Another version says, tribulation. We know the verse, John 16:33. That sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it? Wonderful verse. The Bible is very real. Here's an even better one, Philippians 1:29. Paul says, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him. Oh, it'd be great if that verse stopped right there. Okay. It is wonderful to believe in Christ. It's been granted to us. It's a privilege to believe in Christ. But he goes on and he says, but also to suffer for him. Why couldn't Paul have stopped at the first half of that verse? Because the Holy Spirit didn't let him. That's why. Man, we can embrace the first part of that. Yes, it is a privilege. It is on behalf of Christ to believe on him. But then to say, he goes on, it's also a privilege. It's also granted to you on behalf of Christ to suffer for him. He's saying you are blessed when you go through difficulties and trials and suffering. Doesn't feel like such a blessing, does it? Do I share one more verse? In 2 Timothy 2:3, Paul says, join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. You might be thinking about now, okay, Pastor Ron, I get it. You can stop now. We don't need all these verses about suffering. And look, I'm not trying to be discouraging here this morning, but I would be doing you a great disservice if I only preached messages that were feel-good messages. Because what happens if we just look at the scriptures and we ignore the others, all the Bible, okay? If we just look at the ones that make us feel good and just concentrate on those only, what's going to happen is we're going to build a faulty theology of suffering. And eventually, all those feel-good sermons and this faulty theology of suffering, it's going to cause us to have a weak faith. And we're not going to stand trough when those trials do come. We're not going to understand why they're coming and what God wants to do through the trials and the struggles. The Bible's very clear that hanging tough is not glamorous. Determination always carries a price tag. Commitment, it costs comfort. Sometimes commitment costs convenience. Christmas commitment costs applause sometimes. Consider the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Man, he has got a long list of the cost of commitment in his life. Among them, he includes imprisonment, beatings, shipwrecks, hunger, sleepless nights, yet he did not quit. Why? Because he understood that discomfort does not equal defeat. He understood that in the uncomfortable moments that we allow, invite, and depend on God to do his greatest work. Here's how Charles Swindoll put it. He says this, the world needs men and women who cannot be bought, whose word is their bond, who put character above wealth, who are larger than their vocations, who will be honest in small things as in great things, who will make no compromise with wrong, whose ambitions are not confined to their selfish desires, who will not say they do it because everyone else does it, who are true to their friends through good report and bad report, in adversity as well as prosperity, who do not believe that shrewdness, cunning, and hard-headedness are the best qualities for winning success, and who are not ashamed or afraid to stand for the truth when it's unpopular, and who can say no with emphasis when the rest of the world says yes. Wow. What a list. He doesn't beat around the bush. In our own lives, quitting often feels justified. It's too hard. No one appreciates me. I'm not seeing results. But the call of Christ is never to comfort. The call of Christ is to carry our cross. Here's some application. Ask yourself, what am I tempted to quit? Or where am I tempted to not grow? Is there something that you are called to do that you are considering quitting because it's hard? What discomfort am I interpreting as a sign to stop? Sometimes the very pressure you're under is proof that you're on the right path. It's learning how to live in that tension that grows us. Determination declares, I may bend, but I will not break. Do you remember, some of you might be old enough, I don't even know if they have these still. You remember Weebles? Okay. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Now, that's not 100% great theology, okay? Weebles don't fall down. We sometimes fall down. But the thing I love about that illustration for us, is Weebles come right back up, okay? So no matter if you're knocked down, no matter if you fall, and I love the concept of Weebles too, that it is hard to get them down. So be determined that we're not going to get down, okay? But yet, if we do, it's not the end of the world. God will have a resolve to get right back up, just like those Weebles. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. We're not going to stay down. Declare, nothing can keep me down, and nothing will keep me down. I may struggle, but I will not surrender. That's the cost of commitment. Thirdly, here's a much more pleasant point that we'll consider for our last one this morning. Consider the crown for the conqueror. The crown for the conqueror. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 says this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. There is a reward on the other side of resilience. Paul did not say toward the end of his life, I lived comfortably. He said, I have finished faithfully. Remember that God measures success not by brilliance, but by perseverance. Have you ever watched lumberjack competitions, maybe in person or on TV? I haven't very many, but I've seen a few over my lifetime. And it's just amazing how they can take that axe and just in, seems like not very many swings with that axe, they can chop a very large log in two. Well, if you and I were to do such a thing, it might take us a few more swings. It might take us a lot of swings. But here's the point. Which swing is the most important swing? Aren't they all important? I mean, we love that last swing where it finally goes in two. But there might be 1,000 swings before that last swing, before the log actually breaks and falls. Was the last swing more important than the first swing? We'd have never got to the last swing if it wasn't for this first swing and all those swings in between. So don't stop. Application for us this morning. Parents and grandparents, your faithfulness matters. Leaders, your unseen integrity matters. And believers, your quiet endurance matters. Don't ever think it doesn't. God honors those who hang tough. The crown is not for the flashy. The crown is for the faithful. Well, what's this kind of person look like who has bulldog determination? I found this remarkable video that had over 1.3 million views that I want to show you in just a second. It's not a bulldog, but this little guy has the tenacity of a bulldog. And I think it's appropriately titled, The Most Determined Jack Russell Terrier Ever. As you watch it, think about your own level of determination. Thank you. that good? I love that. That's one determined little dog. If a little Jack Russell Terrier can display that kind of persistence, how much more determination are we capable of having with the help of the Holy Spirit of God? Can you picture yourself as such a person? One who hangs in there when it's tough, no matter how difficult. Who keeps pushing forward, being the person that God desires. Who will absolutely refuse to just have a mediocre walk with Jesus. One who refuses to be mediocre in giving. One who refuses to be mediocre in serving. One who refuses to be mediocre in loving others. And one who refuses to be mediocre in telling people about Jesus. Determination is not a personality trait. It's a spiritual decision. So today, decide to remain consistent, decide to accept the cost, and decide to pursue the crown. I read the first half of that verse of Galatians 6:8 as we started. Here's the last half. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And what a harvest it will be. It will be a harvest better than anything any of us could ever imagine. The difference between mediocrity and maturity is often simply this. One more prayer. One more act of obedience. One more day of faithful living. So hang tough. Have bulldog determination. Or Jack Russell Terrier determination will do as well. Because God who called you is faithful. The race is worth running and the crown is worth claiming. Let's stand together. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus, and thank you for salvation. Thank you for giving us the strength, tenacity, and grit to persevere and to faithfully follow you. We couldn't do it without your help, but you give it to us through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Grow in us endurance. May we be determined more than ever that we will remain consistent, that we will accept the cost, and that we will pursue the crown with everything we've got and never, never give up on your calling for our lives. May we be lifelong learners, growing and leaning into you for kingdom significance, for it is then that we will be truly blessed. Thank you for your faithfulness. We love you, and in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Since Jesus gave his life for me, should I not give him up? I'm consecrated, Lord, to thee. I shall be wholly thine. My life. His purpose I'll fulfill. I know he everyone protects who does his holy will. My life, for Lord, I give to thee, my talents, time, and all. I'll serve thee, Lord.
Chorus again.
My life, O Lord, I give to thee, my talents, time, and all. I'll serve thee, Lord, and faithful be. I'll hear thy faintest call.
All right, let's go. go forward and be bulldogs for Jesus, or Jack Russell Terriers. That'll do too. All right. You may be seated for just a minute. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward and wait upon us. And as they do, I'm going to share a couple announcements as well. But let's pray together. Our God, this is something we do pretty much every week, but may it never be routine. We thank you for what you gave to us so that we could have salvation. And it is a privilege to give back. We need to. And not just for that reason, but it is exciting to see what you do with us collectively as a group for the cause of Christ, because it is so much greater than we can do individually. So continue to open doors on behalf of Jesus to minister to those around us through these offerings. We love you. We pray in your name. Amen. All right. Here's a few announcements. All right. Tonight, 6 o'clock, is our prayer and praise service. So I invite you to come on out. Again, prayer, you've heard me say it a million times. Maybe not a million, but it's got to be getting close. Prayer is one of the most important things we can do. And so let's come out. Let's spend some time praying and anticipating what God will do as a result. Next, men's Bible study tomorrow night. There was a young man that we talked to recently who said he was going to come tomorrow night. I pray that I'm looking forward to him being there. So, but come on out and be a part of this group. God will do just special things among us when we are looking to him together as a group of men. Next, we have Breakfast and Blessings, March 8. So, I am excited about this, because now we've been calling it Fellowship Breakfast in the past. I'm tweaking that, changing it to Breakfast and Blessings, and here's why. I think one of the most important things we can do is talk about Jesus, talk about what God is doing in our lives. And so during these breakfasts, I'm going to ask a couple of people to give a short testimony each time. Should I let the cat out of the bag and tell you who's going to be sharing their testimony this time? Now, wait. A little suspense, a little guesswork would be good for you. But we've got two, I'm convinced, are going to be wonderful testimonies while we eat breakfast on March the 8th. And not the whole time, but just two short testimonies. And so we'll enjoy each other's fellowship. That's good. Enjoy some good food. But we all can rejoice and be inspired and encouraged one another, encourage those who are sharing about how God is working in their life, and also look forward to how God will work in our lives as well. So come plan on that March the 8th. All right. Is that the last one? Okay. So you can read about these, but there is a Missouri CWC state convention coming up. So if some of those you want to be a part of that, you can see the information on the bulletin board and sign up and go. All right. And then this year is a new, something new. A few years ago, they stopped having Anderson camp meeting, and they started having regional camp meetings, and went to an every other year basis to do that. But this year, they are going to have Anderson camp meeting this year. And if you sign up by March the 1st and pay your registration, you can save $10 on your registration. I'm sure that it will be quite an incredible opportunity this year. So if you can go, man, enjoy that and take advantage of that. All right. Well, thank you for your perseverance. Thank you for your faithfulness. I look forward to what God is going to do in the days ahead. Remember, right after church today, Board of Trustees are meeting.